Hello everyone, I'm Harry Bucknell. Thank you for downloading this podcast from ABF, the Soldiers' Charity. This programme is dedicated to the memory of Lance Corporal Brodie Gillen, who tragically lost her life on operations in Iraq while attached to the 1st Battalion of the Irish Guards in March 2020. History has it that women have been serving in our armed forces since the 17th century. But since time began, whenever there has been conflict involving the inhabitants of the British Isles, women have more than played their part. And in so saying, let us not forget that Her Majesty the Queen, patron of the Soldiers' Charity, not only served in the Auxiliary Territorial Service, or ATS, during the Second World War, but at 94 is Commander-in-Chief of our armed forces. Women have had active roles in the British Army since 1902, when the Queen Alexandra's Royal Army Nursing Corps was founded. In 1938, the ATS was formed out of the Women's Auxiliary Army Corps, a voluntary service that dated back to 1917. Over 20,000 women joined the ATS during World War II, including the Special Operations Executive fighting alongside the resistance in occupied Europe, code-breaking at Bletchley Park, and as anti-aircraft gunners defending our skies against the Luftwaffe. In 1949, the ATS merged to become the Women's Royal Army Corps, in which thousands served their country with great pride until disbandment in 1992, as opportunities and careers for women were opened up in the wider army. In April 2014, General Sir Peter Wall, then Chief of the General Staff, stated that lifting the ban on women serving in combat units need to be considered seriously to show that the Army was an equal opportunities employer. "I want every woman in the country to know the service is open to them," he said. "Women need to see they have equal opportunities right throughout the organisation." In December 2015, it was announced that women would be permitted to begin training for all arms in the autumn of the following year. And in 2016, the Right Honourable David Cameron, Prime Minister at the time, lifted the ban on women serving in the front line. So what follows are the fruits of General Wall's policy as recruits now complete their training to serve alongside their male comrades in the infantry, artillery, engineers and the regiments of the Royal Army Corps. For the Army, this is yet another great success story, and to understand why, I visited the 1st Battalion of the Welsh Guards in Windsor, who have recently welcomed female guardsmen into their ranks. And no better place to start than at the very top, with the commanding officer, Lieutenant Colonel Henry Llewellyn Usher.
I've been in the Army 20 years, I've been in the battalion on and off, and I've been on operations an awful lot, and I've served in combat with men and women. My personal view as a commanding officer is that I see no difference between whatever sex anyone is when they join the military, and whether they're infantiers or not, or supporting arms, as long as they're able to fulfil their function in either combat or supporting combat arms, is absolutely fine. So there's no issue there. As a subaltern all the way through to commanding officer, there have been men and women serving under the colours of the Welsh Guards for a number of years now. So this isn't something that's, in my mind, unique at all. And indeed, in the eyes of the younger generation, it's certainly not even a blip on their kind of interestometer. It's something that they just deal with. You know, I am probably one of the last remaining generations of officer cadets who went through Sandhurst, where we were segregated into male and female platoons. My young platoon commanders now have integrated platoons. Likewise, the generation of young guardsmen that are coming through training, it just so happens that this happens to be the first tranche of female guardsmen, infantiers, that we have received into the battalion. And you know, since the women in the ground close combat role was made available, or ground close combat roles were made available to both men and women, the infantry is starting to see an uptake in those that want to join. In terms of our preparation, to be really honest with you, there was very little that differentiated what we did with the male guardsmen when they come to battalion. They all join the battalion once they passed off the square, therefore they're deemed to be good enough to join the infantry. They come to the battalion. They all go into a rifle company initially, so they get experience of working and operating within a rifle company. The two female guardsmen who we've had, both are put in the same platoon, so they were able to support each other. The senior female soldiers who are attached to the battalion act as mentors if they need them, purely from a female perspective. But other than that, we've made no alterations or changes. They live in a block with their fellow guardsmen. They live on corridors which are mixed, in my view. They do it in the field, they do it in a harbour area, they'll do it on patrol, so why make a difference when we're in camp? They have the mechanism there should they need to turn to senior ranks who are male or female. But there's a great appreciation that there should be no difference between whether you're male or female.
You've now got two female guardsmen. You presumably will in due course get female platoon commanders. And do you think that will change the dynamic and make it more efficient?
Well, I think the bottom line is, irrespective of who a platoon commander is, a young soldier just wants to be well led. And there are fantastic examples of those that have led very well, and I'm sure there are those examples of those that have not led very well. As long as that young platoon commander, who then turns into a company commander and ultimately a commanding officer, is able to lead properly and fulfil their job, it really doesn't matter. I don't think there's an issue with, or there's going to be a great differentiation between, you know, what good or bad might look like because of someone's sex. It's not going to change anything. And indeed, I talked to my peers in the Royal Armour Corps, and they're saying they haven't seen a seismic shift, but what they have seen is actually the very good girls who come to be platoon commanders are actually sometimes better than some of the very good boys. So I think you're always going to get good and average and unfortunately bad. What we're trying to do is make sure we train out the bad, and that the young people who, you know, sign up to the colours are well led, irrespective of who their platoon commander might be. It all boils down to whether the individual is able to fulfil their job. And, you know, being an infantry soldier is demanding, physically demanding. In a light Royal Battalion, there is no luxury of being taken from A to B and then moving on foot. It's you move from A to B on foot and then you continue moving forward. That's the demand of doing what we're doing. It isn't something that some men want to do, frankly. It isn't something that some men are very good at. And by a process of, you know, working that out, there will be those females who do want to do it and those that don't want to do it, and those indeed that can't. But we must give everyone the opportunity to do it if that's what they want to try and do. There has been no dilution of standards and quality. I think there has been no reduction in the bar. There's no reducing in the bar to join the army in the round, but specifically the infantry. And that is what is key. And there's no differentiation made between male or female infanteers within the battalion. They all do the same tests. They all undertake the same, you know, fitness tests throughout the course of the year. And they're all given the same opportunity. It's then down to them, as it is with any walk of life, but specifically in the army, as everyone will know, as to whether or not they want to take those opportunities.
And how have you found that they've integrated it?
I found that they've integrated very well. I don't even bother asking about how well they're doing, because I know they're doing fine. And I think that it would be curlish of me to look at them over others when there are 17, 18 year old men who are coming into town as well. You know, they're both, as are everybody, have their own unique capability. And the critical thing is that they've, you know, like so many other young people, they've stepped up to the plate. You know, they've volunteered to serve their country. And each of them, across the battalion, but the two girls in particular at the moment, they each have their own potential, which we need to be able to maximise and give them the opportunity, as with everyone else in the army. And I genuinely don't see this as something that is an issue, but I think they should be able to and allowed to develop as and when they can, like their peers in the platoons. The people now just want their person standing on their left and right to be able to fulfil their job, and that's the most important thing. The military in the round is the greatest example of meritocracy that we've got, and that's what we should be upholding, is that if you step up and you show that you're willing and capable and you have the potential, then that potential will be realised. It doesn't matter where you come from, it doesn't matter who you are, it doesn't matter what gender or race you are, you have an opportunity and potential, then it can be maximised in the military.
Major Chris Fenton, Officer Commanding, Number 2 Company.
I think the only thing I was trying to rank my brain as to what is it that we've done differently in preparation for or since arriving, and I think the only thing that we've done differently is it's forced us to have a think about our culture, the culture of the company, and sort of how inclusive we are as a company, but as a result of that sort of reflection, I don't think we've changed anything.
Company Sergeant Major Jay McAvoy.
No, I think we were on public duties when he arrived. I think that was an initial concern, is obviously in the palaces, the guardsmen will sleep in the same quarters. So we spoke to the two female guardsmen, and they were happy to, what they didn't want to do is be withdrawn from the guard as such, so we had to put some parameters in there, make sure that the showers were only used at specific times for them. The actual sleeping arrangement then, a lot of them palaces have segregated areas normally for non-commissioned officers, so they just use them areas.
Major Kylie Knight, Regimental Medical Officer.
The seven women in Welsh Guards that are here.
They're on your medical staff?
No, but also within the RWO's medical, it's female as well. So there's about seven of us, and just to enable, when the government were coming in, that to actually set up a Women in Welsh Guards forum, to say they've got an open forum to chat to if they want to have someone else that's more senior, that's female, to talk to, but actually hasn't been used at all. I've, you know, communicated with them via WhatsApp and whatever else, but there hasn't been any issues that have come up at all. And doesn't seem to be anything. And this is part of a wider network within London District as well, that all the other units have a women's forum within the unit.
The fact that there's been no issue is testament to the discipline of the battalion, surely, and the professionalism of it.
Major Fenton.
Perhaps the bad thing, that the majority of the guys in the company are new, because that's all they know. And so, yes, perhaps for us who've been in the system a bit longer, it seems more of a change. But for majority of the guardsmen, it's from the very first day of training at Catterick, they would have been training in mixed platoons.
Company Sergeant Major McAvoy.
I'm sure if you ask some people in the guards division, probably don't realise we've got two female guardsmen, and both of them wanted to kind of just be left alone and just be treated like guardsmen rather than a female guardsman.
Major Fenton.
And I think that's why they haven't used the female support network that Kylie has set up, because they don't want to differentiate themselves as females. They are guardsmen first and foremost, and so if they've got any concerns or problems, they go through their chain of command, who happen to be males at the moment but might not be in the future, and so they address any concerns or worries or with their chain of command, as opposed to sort of stepping outside and addressing it through a female-only support network.
Major Kylie Knight on how parenthood might affect a female's career pattern.
It shouldn't really make any difference, because males can take maternity leave and shared parental leave as well. So it actually really makes a difference between men and women. Yes, women will get pregnant and then have to have the recovery phase afterwards, but the army is well set up for that now and has great facilities in place. There's no reason why if a female infantry got pregnant would not return to the same state of fitness as she was.
Major Fenton.
Just as we were talking, it reminded me of a conversation or an anecdote that was shared to me and my team by a senior officer that we were working with. And his wife, who's in the military but had spent some time working in the private sector, he said that he and his wife thought that they were inclusive in their language and their behaviours, but his wife, when she went to work in the private sector, was pulled up by her civilian line management for using male personal pronouns, and I think his point was that our language is quite masculine, and so one of the things I thought about was, do we need to, as a company, change the, because automatically revert, perhaps because of the sort of overly sort of male environment that we work in, whenever we talk in general about people, we use the male personal pronoun, tend to use the male personal pronoun subconsciously. But one of the things that we discussed in the car on the way back from the pass operators is, are we going to have to sort of get the section cars and everyone else in to talk about just being overly conscious about the language?
And if you talk about I think you're talking about persons, a four person room or something.
Yeah.
And it's interesting, because so someone must have said that those female guardsmen will be called guardsmen, or would you call them guards, or would you call them guards persons? And I think it comes a point, it's a bit like chair or chairman or whatever. It comes a point when you say it's just a generic noun, and you've got to take it as, you know, that's...
And are we overly worried about it? And it's not a conversation I've had with Morgan or Williams, but the overuse of male personal pronouns to talk about people in general, including them, is that something that bothers them or concerns them? Right? That's not a question I've asked them, but But yeah, it was just something I that's one of the things that I'd been thinking about prior to their arrival.
What's your view on it, Kyle? What do you think about that?
I would probably prefer to have a more general thing rather than it being so masculine all the time.
Could you imagine if we had a generic term for a guards person? Should it be some sort of gender neutral type of thing? I mean, as a matter of interest, man.
I don't know necessarily guardsmen, but I think if you're referring to a collective whole rather than saying right men, we're going to do this. That's the term that you've got to change. Is that it's not, you're looking at a collective of people, not just that they're all men now. So I think that's the switch you've got to have, because I think it's going to become more and more common, and it's going, you know, there are going to be more and more women joining the infantry. So it's just starting putting that step change in place to look at it to happen.
Company Sergeant Major McAvoy.
Was that something you would have thought about? You know.
Yeah. So it's something that subconsciously you forget. So again, going back to the time Sanderson, and even here now, sometimes you switch off, maybe not so much now, but the younger guys might do it. Because lads, you always refer to them as the collective, you know, and we spoke, and somehow got used to it in Sanderson, just referring to them as troops. But equally, we should, you know, where possible, try our best to have a more generalised, you know, term for them, so troops. But it's difficult because if you switch off, you forget.
I always used to think, come on, men, it was a bit too gung-ho anyway.
Lance Corporal Marilyn Messam-Green, Royal Army Medical Corps, a 29-year-old combat medical technician attached to the battalion.
I had a look at the Welsh Guards and what their upcoming events were and what commitments they were on, and to see that they were due to deploy to Belize and various other countries and ceremonial duties interests me, so...
Have you been to Belize yet?
Yeah, I was fortunate enough to, the minute I posted here, I was asked if I would like to deploy,
Was that 6 weeks or 2 months?
Yeah, 6 weeks, yeah.
Guardsman Rhian Morgan, 21, from Newport in South Wales.
Yeah, I like it here, I do. They're all a good bunch of lads. They're like big brothers. They're annoying as well sometimes.
Guardsman Yasmin Williams, 18, from Bangor in North Wales.
In training, you've constantly got stuff to do. Here, you've got stuff to do, but it's more laid back, so you've got more time in between everything you've got to do. So it's, that's, in that sense, is more laid out.
I think I've learned more here than I have in training.
Guardsman Dadswell, 24, from Llandudno.
It wasn't really much of a change, because sometimes you get a medic that's attached to this action, so there's no real difference. Mm. Other than instead of having the support role, now they're actually next year, in the section attack, so there's not really much of a difference.
Guardsman Roberts, 19, from Tredegar.
I think it's good. I think more girls should join the infantry. I think it's just good for everyone.
Of a Friday night, if we were going to go out into Windsor, would you all go out as a bunch and take the town on?
No, we'd go out as probably a company or platoon if it was normal. Like, normal situation, but you can't at the minute.
And you're in all going on operations in next year. How do you find the build up for that? What's that like for you?
I think at the moment they're at a good standard with everything. So how we've just come off exercise, building up from the first individual fire manoeuvres to platoon attacks, and obviously making our way up until company battalion attacks and stuff or whatever it is. And once we've got the top of that, keeping our training on top of that, I think we'll all be ready for next year.
Platoon attacks, company attacks, these are very physical and demanding. Yeah. I mean, hopefully you won't have to do it for real, but does that sort of physical prospect, does that appeal?
Yeah.
And was it that element of the physicality that made you want to join the Welsh Guards too?
Yeah, just getting stuck in with all the infantry stuff.
Have you been sort of assigned a special role in the platoon yet? Or?
I was sharpshooter last week.
You're a sharpshooter? How's your shooting by comparison, your marksmanship?
Well, I don't think it's too bad. I think Guardsman Morgan's got a better shot than me.
How do you find doing sentry at Buckingham Palace? How's that for you? Though?
I personally think I like it, love it. Getting all your glory kit is what I like. Making sure that you're all smart, ready to go on guard. That's what I personally like about it.
Do you think you'd like to make a career with the army?
Yeah, I want to try and last as long as I can.
So it is quite likely that one day you might become a major with this company. What about you, Moore? What's your sort of view on that?
I'm the full 20 years of life now.
I take every day as it comes, so any option I get, I stick my hand up. any opportunity I get or something I'd like to go for, then I'd go for it.
My post in with the battalions for 3 years, so absolutely.
What do you think next after this?
I quite enjoy the battalion, so at present, if I was offered, I would extend.
Yeah, the sun always shines if you're Welsh, because it always rains in Wales, is that right? And have you been out of adventure training?
I haven't been with the battalion, but we did do a week of adventure training.
And where was that? Where did you go to? Back to Wales?
No, it was just a
Lake District.
Yeah.
It always rains there. What do you think about adventure training for being thrown off a viaduct 200 foot up with a rope?
It would help with confidence massively. Would help a lot of things if I didn't want to do it, I ended up doing it, or if I backed out from doing it, then obviously got stuff to work on. But it would obviously help if I was going somewhere like Guards Para.
Would you consider going into the parachute company for that?
If I was much fitter than what I am now, yeah, I'd definitely go Guards Para.
How about you, Phil?
Yeah, so I've already put myself up for Guards Para. Yeah. Supposed to be going on the next month.
And
no, I'm quite content with the Welsh Guards.
Same detail.
Yeah, you're talking about guards parachute, and you could get fit enough for that, couldn't you?
Yeah, I could, yeah. But I'd have to go a long way to get where I'd have to be. So.
And the logical progression from the parachute company is then to go to G Squadron 22nd SAS.
Take it as it comes, really. So once I get in Guards Para, if I'm keen enough to try it out, then willing to try anything out. So,
and would you consider parachuting?
No, I'm quite content being a combat medical technician.
Great.
Not so quite.
That's quite hard enough work, is it?
Yeah, I enjoy being a combat medic.
I just wanted to talk about sport. It's a big thing in the army. Have you taken up a specific sport or?
So I play golf, and then I'm also part of the boxing team as well. I haven't had a bout yet, but plan to.
Oh, so you haven't been in the ring yet? With
in Civvy Street, not.
Oh really?
Yeah.
What happens if your nose is broken? Mine got broken.
Put it back. Yeah.
You'll put it back.
Yeah. I can see you.
And with my thanks to the great women and men serving with the Welsh Guards. At the Soldiers Charity, it is, of course, business as usual. Our central purpose for over 75 years remains the same, safeguarding our soldiers, veterans, and their immediate families so they can live a life of independence and dignity for the service they have given and still give to their country in guaranteeing our security, freedom, and liberty. It is the debt we owe them. Yesterday, today and tomorrow. If you'd like to learn more about the work of the Soldiers Charity or take part in its many events, whether actual or virtual, please visit our website soldierscharity.org. With editing by Michael Stiglianu, this podcast has been a GameCube production for ABF, the Soldiers Charity. Ta-da! Thank you.